Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to People You Need to Know on Sparkplug Radio. I'm your host, Sparkplug, publisher of People You Need to Know magazine, the publication that has changed the paradigm on how women business owners are represented in the media. Women business owners in our network have access to tremendous exposure, unrivaled respect, great opportunities, energetic encouragement, and a stronger brand identity in Metro Atlanta and beyond. Our show today is brought to you by the Hatchett Firm. For years, you've seen her on television as Judge Hatchett. Now she's stepping beyond the bench to fight for you. Join Judge Glenda Hatchett and the Hatchett Firm in the next edition of People You Need to Know magazine. For more information, please call 770-460-5995. In this segment, we're going to be speaking with travel expert Patty Wink about a few of the know-before-you-go travel tips. My guest today is a native of Illinois and has a master's degree in education from the University of South Alabama. Today, she is the co-owner of Wink Travel in Douglasville, Georgia. Her organization helps clients by saving them time, researching the best value for their investment, and creating forever memories experiences. We're so honored to welcome back to the show one of our newest clients, Mrs. Patty Wink. Welcome back to Sparkplug Radio.
Good morning. It's great to be on here. This is so much fun.
How are you today?
I am awesome. Doing fantastic. Why not? That's a choice.
All right. Are you ready?
I sure am.
Well, let's get right into it. Patty, what are some of the main factors you share with your clients when they're selecting a destination?
When clients have a problem as far as exactly where to go, one of the main areas that they might want to look into and be aware of is what's called the travel season. And the travel season is actually set up based on cost. So you have a high season, a low season, and what's called a shoulder, which is kind of the in-between. That can affect have to do with the weather. It has to do with the number of people that are traveling. Obviously, high season for a lot of places is when families are going because they know that resorts, airlines can increase the price. Another factor that's very important as far as your particular budget might be whether you're driving or flying to your destination. And obviously, if it's flying, then you need to realize that a portion of your money allotted for that vacation obviously is going to go to the airlines. The activity level that you're looking for, are you looking for something that is very quiet and serene? And some resorts actually have areas of that particular resort where it's quieter. And then there are areas where there's a lot more activity going on. Someone may also want to know, okay, once I get and land in, let's say, Montego Bay, Jamaica, how far am I going to drive? Do I go just a few minutes in there? Of course, they provide, Sandals, for instance, provides their own transportation. Are you going to just drive if you go a few minutes, like to Montego Bay, Sandals Montego Bay, or will you have an hour and a half ride to the White House, which is a beautiful, secluded area on the island? And the other thing I think is important is what are the amenities that you're looking for in your destination? You know, do you want to be on the beach? Do you want to be in the mountains? So those are extremely important, and that's part of what I talk and help a client go through as far as coming up with exactly how they want to narrow down where they're going.
Well, Patty, I know with you and Stan, it's all about the personal, you know, personal
yes.
aspect of customer service. But
absolutely.
How do you handle it when a potential client tells you of a lower price they found online?
What happens a lot of time with a lower cost is what they're getting is a base price. And they're not aware of all the extra fees that are involved. For instance, with a cruise, the cruise lines put across, here's your cost per person for a cabin. Well, that'd be an inside cabin at the bottom, maybe near an elevator or near the motor. So do you know where you're going to be located? Do you also know what the extra costs are, all the tax and fees? Are you aware, for instance, again, with the cruise, there's prepaid gratuities? Are you wanting to have drink packages? In other words, what a travel agent does is really go in and find all of the costs and make sure the client's aware of what their full package and their full trip is going to cost them. Another thing that can happen is whether the amenities, and I had mentioned that as far as the drinks and so on, but some things, for instance, in an all-inclusive, because all-inclusive is a nice broad term that has to be researched. So you have to know what you're paying for and what you're getting and what else is going to cost you money. As a travel agent, I have access to vendors that will do price match. So if that vendor is offering the exact same trip that the client's seen at a lower price, I contact the vendor and then see if they'll be willing to do a price match, which several of the top vendors that I work with will do that. Bottom line, and I always emphasize this, it's up to the client to do what's best for them.
Okay. So at Wink Travel, you pretty much would much rather explain the price than apologize for the quality.
Oh, you explain the price, but then you make sure they understand the quality of what it is they're getting, because that really is the bottom line. That's where the memories are with the quality of what you're getting. So someone may have a price that they're envisioning, and however, that price won't give them what they're wanting. So that's where the client has to make the decision, what's the priority.
All right. Well, what about some basic packing tips? What can you share with our listening audience today?
Well, if anybody packs like I do in my car, it's my what, just in case. I'm a just in case packer. That doesn't do real well when you're paying bags. And I've also been wondering, I had written something down, and I wondered if the word luggage comes from the word lug. So sometimes that's what we're doing with our luggage. So we need to decide, because that can be, if you're having to walk someplace, then you've got a lot of luggage, baggage fees, you know, all of that. So some of the tips that I've found from some of the research I've done and for myself is, one, make sure, for instance, on the plane you have exactly what you know you need to have access to immediately. And that might even be, just in case, an extra change of clothes, in case the airlines may have, transferred your luggage somewhere else for a little while, because that can be. Items that can be hand washed, you know, doing things that mix and match that can be used and look like different outfits, and women are really big about that. The guys aren't, but I think the women are. Oh, and minimize the number of shoes. that's something, too. Ziploc bags are great to have, not only to put items in, and there are special places you can buy things like that, but to have with you. For instance, if you're going to buy souvenirs, are you going to mail them home? Are you going to bring them home? And one of the interesting ones was, take some old clothes that you don't want to keep. That's in your luggage. Throw them away when you're on the trip and you've got extra space in the luggage to bring home souvenirs. Definitely, of course, make a list. Pack a few days before. Be sure that your brain is working right. You're not doing it as far as being panicky about what to do. And on the airplane, you can wear layers of clothing. Those would be things that you don't have to pack that might be bulkier, especially if you're traveling, you know, in the wintertime, you might want to be able to do that.
All right. Well, let's talk about a topic that everybody likes. Let's talk about money. What tipping guidelines are recommended by travel experts today?
Okay, and that, I actually have seen a fairly consistent idea of what to do as far as tipping. If you're going, let me break it down. If you're going on a cruise, I always make sure the prepaid gratuities are there, and those are dispersed. However, when you have some really special extra, you know, that the client, that I'm sorry, that the maid is doing or whoever you're working with, extra tipping is good because they're really working on a very minimal basis. And your prepaid gratuity is really spread out among a lot of people. If it's an all-inclusive, it's good to go and see what that particular brand recommends and also the country you're going into. Because we'll talk in a minute about if you have to exchange dollars. Most all-inclusives I work with American dollars. So that's a good thing, and that's part of what I would do is check and see. One of the ones that I had read, and had read this several times, is if you're going to be gone for about a week, you're going to an all-inclusive or someplace where they actually encourage the tipping, then they say take about like $125 in $1 bills and $75 in $5 bills, because your range of tipping is going to be that. I think most of us know with it, airport or the train, the porter do $1 or $2 per bag. Check in at the airport, you know, that's what I hand to the person when it's moved, touched. When something's touched, in most cases, tipping is something that is really encouraged. If you're taking a cab, 10 to 18%. Tour guides, if it's a group, do plan on about $2 to $5 per day when you're, and that's usually paid at the end. And that could be the tour guide sometimes is also the driver. Again, touching the bag, your shuttle drivers, $1 to $2 per bag. The bell staff would be about the same thing. Concierge, at the end of the stay, it's recommended about $10 to $20. That, of course, depends on how much you've used them. And that could be in a hotel at the desk, but it also could be at an all-inclusive where you have concierge service, you know, that you have access to because of the category of, you know, room that you ended up with. Maids, about $2 to $3 per night. And the recommend for the bartender, like $1 to $2 per drink extra. All of these things are showing honor to the person that's working for wages in other countries that are even lower than what our waitresses and those in our country are using. So that's a good rule of thumb, and that's what most that I've seen have come up with.
All right. Well, you mentioned it earlier. Let's talk about the exchange rate. Where is it best to exchange U.S. dollars to foreign currencies?
Well, and that's interesting because part of what I had heard when I first got in the business was it was best to go ahead and do that here in the United States. With the research I've started doing, I'm actually seeing the opposite of that. In fact, a lot of the information I had gotten from, there's a publication that's called Travel Plus, and it's the plus symbol, and that's a magazine that is an expert in travel that travel agents and other people have. You've probably seen them in a doctor's office. But this is one of the areas you want to really check out carefully yourself. I wouldn't even rely on someone else to give you the information. Definitely you've got to check with your bank. Find out, because if you use, what they recommend is that you use the bank's debit card at the destination ATM. You're going, there is an ATM. I had a client that just flew to British Virgin Islands, and that was one of the things that the manager of the resort said, please make sure they understand there is no ATM here on the island. They need to take care of it, you know, before they actually, and that was near Tortola is where they were coming into. But Visa, if you go into Visa.com, or if you have a MasterCard, MasterCard.com, they'll give you information on that. And this was interesting, is the PIN number that you use, you don't use numbers. I'm sorry, you use numbers, not letters, because in other countries, in order to make sure everything's across the board, no matter where you're going, it makes sense. Letters are different in other countries. So your PIN needs to have numbers in it, digits. Also be aware of the conversion fees. Most of the banks may have, there may be like a 1%, but the bank ATM fee is separate, and that could be anywhere from $2 to $3 per transaction. So you've got to be aware of what all these extra fees. That's, again, the kind of thing we kind of take for granted and don't look at the whole picture. If you're going to be doing actual transactions where you're in another country, just do a few of them, because every time you do a transaction, there's a fee. So you don't want a whole lot of small ones. One of the things that was suggested is, if that isn't what you want to do, you can use a credit card. Now, that does have some consumer protection. Use that to withdraw cash. So you've got to be aware of what works and what doesn't work. And especially one of the things is, don't have a lot of foreign.
Patty? Looks like we lost Patty for a second. Let me see here. Are you
I'm
there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we lost you for a minute.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. You were saying that you can be protected by some Visa, MasterCard.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. There wasn't much more that I said. But what I said is, don't use the credit card to withdraw cash. All right, and the last thing was, don't have a lot of foreign currency left over, because you're going to have to pay again to have it reconverted to U.S. dollars.
All right, let's talk about roaming charges. How can they be minimized on your cell phones?
That's scary. That can be, I mean, people can really get caught with huge bills if they really don't go in and make sure they understand exactly what's going on. And, of course, that's going to be based on the carrier. But one of the things is, people think roaming charges, okay, that's going to be if I go out of the country. No, that can happen in the U.S. also. So if you're going to be doing some long, say, travel trips of some sort, going from here to California or wherever, please, you've got to check, find out. But there are some things you have to decide before talking to the carrier so that you know what it is you really want to do. Do you want to make and receive calls? Do you want a GPS system that's active? Do you need internet service of any kind? If so, that's going to help the carrier help you figure out how to make sure you're not getting those large, you know, costs that are coming in because of the roaming. You want to know if you're going to have access to Wi-Fi hotspots, internet cafes, you know, that kind of thing. Now, if you don't need data, turn it off, and you turn off, and it depends on the phone. It may be called data roaming. It may be called data synchronization. However, you may have a third-party app that turns it back on because that's the way it's programmed. So you can rent another cell phone, use a different, you know, SIM card if you want to. But part of something I didn't know until I did the research, there are actually what are called their apps that have offline versions. So be sure and look that up. If there's an app you really want, see if there's an offline version that you can, you know, that you can use. There are data saving apps. If you've got to have an app, there's a thing called ONAVO, ONAVO Extend, and what it does is it consolidates the data so that it's, well, it just squishes it together, however that does that. But another option is use Google Voice or Skype. So lots of choices, but you need to know what you're doing before you go. That can be, oh, and don't forget to turn it off as soon as you get back. Make sure everything is fixed.
All
otherwise,
right.
You're going to have extra charges.
Okay. Well, Patty, since traveling as a family is so important, do you have a few suggestions that would make the trip itself more enjoyable?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Than there is now.
Hey,
basically,
Patty, start back
car.
From the beginning. Start back from the beginning because we lost you on that.
Sorry. Okay. I haven't moved, I promise. Yeah, what I was saying is I know what it can be like traveling with children. Of course, we did it before there were any seat belts. So, but I've done a lot of research. I actually have anyone that comes onto the call and would like to have a list. I have a list of 16 different websites that have amazing suggestions. And what I did is I put that together and I give that to families because I know it's something that's important. A couple of the ones that I've come across that I thought were really neat is one was they put clips up on the visor. As long as the child is good, the clip stays on the visor. If they act up, the clip comes down, and when they make the next stop, that child doesn't get any kind of a treat. To help with time frame, you know, like it's are we there yet?
Mm-hmm.
Have a treat. Let them have a map. Gee, we can still use paper maps. It's okay. But have a map and let them see where the next city is. And if they've been good when they get to that next city, whatever the treat is that you want to give them. There's one site that was great that had a state license plate checklist. So everybody's looking and watching for the all. At the first time, then they're the winner or whatever. Take a cookie sheet. The metal part of it's great as a magnet. So they can do magnetic things. They can do Legos. Small items could stay. They could do cars, whatever, but it could have it on their lap. You can create a travel scavenger hunt. This last one I'd never heard of. It's homemade GAK. G-A-K. And it's a squishy, doughy kind of thing that the kids can play with and make all kinds of stuff with. So I'm going to make a copy of that recipe and put it on my next flyer for my family.
Hey, Patty, what was that license plate game again? Because you broke up.
Oh, the license plate is it's a checklist of all of the states, and so the kids have to see who gets all of the states first.
Okay.
So they're watching the cars.
Okay. Hey,
okay.
Well, what are some of the guidelines for booking a group vacation?
Oh, that can be a real headache, especially if someone's dealing with the family that you love and adore. What the individual would have to do is contact the hotel or the resort. They would need to make sure that there's a cost that's agreed on, make sure a contract is signed, so that everyone knows how many rooms are set apart, what the cost is. Get a booking code so that family members can just call in, say, for instance, to a hotel. It's a family reunion, we'll use as an example, in order to make the deposits and payments. And then the person in charge would have to make sure everyone's reminded when their balance is due, because the hotel isn't going to do that. And a huge thing, because when you're dealing with family, it's whoever's in charge will get the thing, oh, I promise I'll pay you. Will you go ahead and pay for me? Don't do that. And that's hard to tell the aunt that helped raise you. you've got to answer all their travel questions, take care of the flights coming in. And my last thing was, or... use a travel agent and let me deal with Aunt Bessie and Uncle Ned, and let me deal with everybody, and you get to sit back and just be one of the participants. You bring the clients to me, I do the work.
Beautifully put. Now, Patty, before we bring this interview to a close, and I'll give you an opportunity in a few minutes just to give out your pertinent information, but before we bring this interview to a close, tell our listening audience, what do you love about People You Need to Know magazine?
Oh, my. what that magazine has done, and I've been able to follow some of the ones that I had through the different workshops and so on that you put together, and have been able to follow them and see that even that once magazine, watch how they branch out. They end up in other magazines. They end up as speakers in other countries. Their exposure and the direction that they've been able to go because of what you
Patty?
Again?
Patty, you broke up. You said because of the exposure, what?
Okay, because of the exposure, they're getting to go to another level that I don't believe they ever would have been able to reach, at certainly not in the time frame that they've been able to, because of them having worked with you in People You Need to Know magazine.
Beautiful. Well, and finally, how can our listeners connect with you?
Okay, my email is Patty, P-A-T-T-Y.
Patty? Patty, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, you're going to have to say it quick because your phone keeps going in and out. So how can our listeners connect with you very quickly?
Okay, patty@wanktravel.com, WENCKTRAVEL.com, phone number 770-852-1925.
All right, go ahead and give it out one more time.
Sure. Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, at wanktravel.com. 770-852-1925.
All right. Well, Ms. Patty Wink, co-owner of Wink Travel, thanks for spending some of your most valuable and precious time with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. I love it.
All right. You've been listening to Spark Plug Radio, the radio station that shines a brighter spotlight on women business owners. To listen to even more People You Need to Know, just Google Spark Plug Radio or visit our website at sparkplugpeople.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at PYNTK. We'd love to hear from you, so please email us at sparkplugpeople@gmail.com. I want to take a moment to thank our executive producer and my lovely wife, Ms. Jacqueline Benjamin Thomas, for doing another remarkable job behind the scenes. So until next time, this is Spark Plug, the world's number one promoter of women business owners, reminding you that People You Need to Know magazine shines a spotlight on women business owners like no other company on earth. When you're ready to move out of the crowd and get into the spotlight, give us a call today at 770-460-5995. Thanks again for tuning in. And be sure to tell your friends about Spark Plug Radio.